And around the world we go in search of some of the stranger new stories making the news today. And I see where a lady called Kirsten Mattison was walking alone in the woods by her Hansville home near Washington when she was attacked. There was no warning. Her attacker was fast and silent but left its mark. It felt like getting punched in the back of the head by someone wearing rings, she said. Luckily, she was able to get photos and video of her attacker, which incidentally turned out to be, of all things, a white barred owl. The attack was unprompted, Mattison said. She was just walking, as she always does. In fact, she had seen this owl before, and there was never any problem. When she got home, her boyfriend helped disinfect her scalp, now bloodied and cut, and she told him the unbelievable story. Later on, at the urging of her friend, she went to the doctor, who recommended she get a tetanus shot to avoid any further issues from the owl's bacteria-carrying claws. Mattison wasn't going to be kept captive in her house, so she did her best to avoid the owl's territory. I was just like, okay, I just won't walk this way for a few days. But then exactly a week later, on the next Saturday, she was on the driveway close to her house when the very same thing happened. Yep, the owl struck again. This time it left behind 5 or 6 deeper cuts, and Mattison far bloodier. She thought, what is going on? Well, according to a wildlife biologist, barred owls are aggressive owls and they're highly territorial. They traditionally nest in the cavities of trees. Unfortunately, these owl-human confrontations are more common now because of the shrinking availability of dense forests that allow the owls to be more secluded, he said. The good news is that this is seasonal, so the owl may eventually move on or quit being so territorial, which, if you're living in the vicinity of one, is, I'm sure, good news. New York City is advertising for a somewhat bloodthirsty person not opposed to wholesale slaughter to be its what's referred to as new rat czar. How's about that for a title? Mayor Eric Adams' administration wants official job title to be Director of Rodent Mitigation. I don't think I'll go with the rat czar somewhere or other, but anyway, the role comes with a salary range of $120,000 to $170,000. The ideal candidate is highly motivated and somewhat bloodthirsty, determined to look at all solutions from various angles, including improving operational efficiency, data collection, technical innovation, trash management, and wholesale slaughter, the ad reads. Someone with a sense of humor, I think, at the back of it all. But anyway, New York City has been trying to control its rodent population for generations, with sightings of rats in parks and on streets recently increasing. The vermin have survived a multi-million dollar effort under previous mayors in terms of rubbish pickups and better housing inspections in targeted neighborhoods. The city also used dry ice to suffocate rats in their hiding spots. Mayor Adams, when he was borough president of Brooklyn, once demonstrated a trap which used a bucket filled with toxic soap to drown rats lured by the scent of food. God, it all sounds a bit medieval. But anyway, the job is up for grabs. If it appeals to you, you know where to apply. A Georgia sheepdog is recovering at home 2 days after killing a pack of coyotes that attacked his owner's flock of sheep. That was according to farmer John Weirweiler. Casper, a 20-month-old Great Pyrenees, fought off a pack of coyotes who were threatening Weirweiler's sheep farm, he said. The fight lasted longer than half an hour, left 8 coyotes dead, and bloodied Casper, with skin and part of his tail torn off. He scampered off but returned injured 2 days later after Weirweiler put out a call on social media. He was kind of looking at me like, boss, stop looking at how bad I look. Just take care of me. Lifeline Animal Project has raised more than $15,000 for the sheepdog's hospital bills. Though dogs rarely prevail like Casper did, packs of coyotes attacking pets have grown somewhat common in rural and growing suburban areas that join wildlands throughout the United States. Poor old Casper. He deserves a medal for his bravery. A group of 165 lucky residents from a village in Belgium have won the EuroMillions jackpot after banding together in a syndicate. The group from Almen in the Antwerp province in Belgium have won a combined 142 million euros. Now, each of the 165 residents who signed up to the syndicate, and I'll save you the maths on this, will walk away with around 860,000 euros. The Belgian National Lottery confirmed this as they announced the final jackpot as 142,800 97 euros. That is really something else. They all apparently play together in the same newsagent in Almen, where they each invested 15 euros. It's not the first time the local newsagent apparently has organized this kind of group pot, but it's the first time they won so much. The owner of the newsagents told Belgian radio that most of its customers could not believe it. He said, "I often had to repeat it 5 or 6 times. Well, you can imagine somebody at the end of the phone telling you you've won a little over 860,000 euros. There were more than 27 million entries purchased for the draw, but only one matched the full winning line. It gives you some idea of the odds, really, doesn't it? This is not the first time communities have banded together to increase their odds of winning big. Earlier this year, 20 miners in Australia got together to buy a ticket that won them a staggering 53 million. And a lotto syndicate from the West Australian mining town of Kalgoorlie won the jackpot in October's Powerball, with each worker becoming 2.6 million the better off. Seems to me there is indeed strength in numbers. In New Jersey, a couple were out having something to eat. Nothing unusual about that, I hear you say. A gentleman named Michael Spresler and his wife, to be precise. They were enjoying an appetizer, a dozen clams on the half shell, when Michael bit into something really hard, which he thought was a bit of a clam shell. But in Mr. Spresler's case, it was a pearl worth thousands of dollars. So it was a lucrative date. His wife preferred to keep it rather than sell it, turning the pearl into a piece of jewelry. How romantic. Next to infinity and beyond, a sweeping search for extraterrestrial technology in the middle of the Milky Way has turned up dry. Surprise, surprise. The search, the fourth in a series looking for low-frequency radio waves that might be produced by alien civilizations, found no evidence of ET. Humans started using radio waves to communicate in the late 1800s, but improvements in telescope technology mean that the strategy could be a way to find other technologically advanced societies in the future. ET, if you're listening, phone home. And they are just some of the stranger news stories making the news today.